Hello, are you there, caller?
Noir, make up your mind. Is it going to be the human scientists or me? You have to make your choice. I'm not going to, like, be second fiddle here.
Well, actually, I dumped We Are Scientists. It's David Johansen all the way. I told them. They understood. They understood.
They did.
And who are you?
I'm some kind of a man.
You are David Johansen from the New York Dolls.
Oh, that's right.
And David, who else is in the New York Dolls? Could you please explain? Who else is in the New York Dolls?
Well, there's me. There's Silly. There's Stevie. There's two Bryans. And Sammy.
Could you explain a bit about the newer members of the New York Dolls? Where did they come from? I understand one of them was in Hanoi Rocks.
Yes, one of them is all the way from Hanoi Rocks. And the other one, I think, is from either Sicily, but he says he's Calabrese.
And then another one is?
And another one is Fancy Pants Delancey, who plays drums. And the other one is our music teacher, Brian Coonan, who we call the professor.
And together you are the New York Dolls.
Yeah.
Your brand new LP. What is the title of your brand new LP, David?
Well, Nardwar, the title of our brand new LP, which comes out, I believe, somewhere about July 25th. So why we're doing this now, I have no idea, because by the time it comes out, everyone's going to forget that this ever occurred. But coincidentally, the title is One Day It Will Please Us to Remember Even This.
And people will not forget this day, David Johansen, because people are invited to call in 604-822-2487 and ask you, David Johansen of the New York Dolls, any questions they would like to ask, and they will never forget speaking to you, David. So this day will live on. One day it will please us to remember even this interview. Now, David, your brand new LP. I saw some pictures for the photo shoot for your LP. It looked really interesting. Could you explain that? You were in kind of a neat pink room.
It's pink, Nardwar. It's pleasingly pink. Some people might say perturbingly pink, but I think it's pleasingly pink.
And I think the word P is pretty important with the New York Dolls and you, David Johansen. For instance, a Rhino compilation came out a couple years ago, and it was called From Pumps to Pompadours. And that,
and did it have personality crisis?
And that came out in 1995. So, by you saying the word pink is for the 21st century, you answered my question. Because I was wondering, it is 2006, and what P word applies to David Johansen in this decade? Is the word pink the word that applies to David Johansen? P, the P word applies to David Johansen in this decade?
I would say the word, Nardwar, that I would choose, that would be most descriptive, would be Pollyanna-ish.
Interesting. David Johansen of the New York Dolls, of all the bands since the New York Dolls, who do you think had the best New York Dolls vibe? For instance, Hanoi Rocks, Motley Crue, Warrant, Poison, Enough's Enough. Who do you think had the best New York Dolls vibe aside from the New York Dolls?
I would have to say, and it's going to take a little description because it wasn't a well-known band outside of a four-block area on the Lower East Side of New York City. They were known as the Harlots of 42nd Street. This consisted of about five guys. I would say the thinnest among them was about 215, 225 pounds, that is. Most of them were fairly muscular, had large legs, hairy, and wore torn fishnet hose, and played a rather out-of-tune, I would call it a vulgar-sounding rock and roll music. They were my personal favorites because I think of anyone who is going to choose drugs, drag as a lifestyle, they were probably the most inept. Therefore, my favorite.
What time frame was this? Just if people want to go back and examine it, would you say, David?
Well, the Harlots of 42nd Street came out, I would say, the day after they saw the New York Dolls. They were probably in some kind of a Bachman-Turner Overdrive-esque outfit.
David,
could you picture Randy Bachman in a dress, Nardwar?
You know, I actually could, because Randy Bachman is up for everything. Remember, he's jammed with Lenny Kravitz. He's jammed with The Soundtrack of Our Lives. He's jammed with DOA, The Butthole Surfers. I could see Randy Bachman pretty much doing anything, actually.
Okay, so you could picture him in a dress.
Yes, totally.
Well, that's kind of what this band looked like.
Amazing.
They were really great. I mean, in the sense of being so bad, they were fabulous.
And we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Caller, go ahead to David Johansson.
Hi, David.
Hello, caller.
My name's Bev. And,
hi, Bev.
I had a question to ask you. When I saw Johnny Thunders here in 1981, I think, at Gary Taylor's Rock Room, somebody asked him what his favorite egg cream was, and he said that it was strawberry. Do you have a favorite egg cream?
Well, you know, it's rather pedestrian, but I would have to say the chocolate egg cream
is probably
the superior egg cream, especially if it's made with Fox's You Bet syrup.
Oh, yeah.
And Bev, why did you ask that question of Johnny Thunders? It had something to do about the album cover, didn't it?
Yeah, I had heard, now I'm not sure if this is true, but I had always heard that your first album cover, The New York Dolls, was taken on the steps of Jem's Spa at the corner of 2nd Avenue and St. Mark's Place. Is that
correct?
Right? That's correct. Oh, good. Whoever told me that was telling me the truth then.
Now, Bill.
Yeah, Jem's Spa is alleged to be the inventor of the egg cream, but, you know, it's a myth, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a guy down the street named Ruby who smoked a cigar and had a big pinky ring, ran a bookie joint on 2nd Avenue,
on the other
who also
side
sold
of the
egg
street?
Creams.
Oh, yeah.
And he claimed to be the inventor of the egg cream.
Wow.
I'm not totally sure what an egg cream is, David.
Well, Nardwar, you take a little syrup. In my case, it would be chocolate. The brand would be Fox's You Bet. Then you put a splash of milk, not a lot of milk. Then you fill it up with seltzer and stir. Serve with a froth and watch the smiles begin.
Very tasty. Bev, I think you also had an internet question that you emailed me earlier, something about Johnny Thunders and his library card. Do you want to ask that question to David?
I don't know if David would know about that. Maybe I could just tell him that when Johnny Thunders came into Canada to play, he came across the border and the only piece of identification that he had was a New York City library card.
Yeah, well, he was very bookish.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a hard time getting Johnny to carry ID with him? Did he lose a lot of stuff?
Well, that wasn't my job. I think there was a guy who worked with us who, you know, tried to keep everyone's papers in order. But we had a lot of interesting papers, and oftentimes the border authorities would become rather flummoxed and eventually wave us through in exasperation.
Well, thanks so much for phoning in, Bev. Any other questions at all for David Johansson?
No, but have a good time in Vancouver, David.
He's actually...
Well, thank you.
Oh, where are you? You're not in Vancouver.
Where am I, Nardwar?
You're in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, I'm in Toronto.
You're in Toronto, Ontario,
Everyone's
Canada.
Rather pleasant here.
Yeah.
We were at the Commodore Ballroom not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. Good place. Saw you there years ago. Good show.
What show did you see, Bev?
David Johansson at the Commodore. I'll have to show you the picture sometime, Nardwar.
All right. Well, thanks much, Bev, and doot doot a loot doo.
Click, click.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we're speaking here live to David Johansen of the New York Dolls, who have a brand new CD coming out. One day it will please us to remember even this on July the 25th. If anybody has any questions for David Johansen, it's 604-822-2487. Now, David, on the new CD, you have a song called Plenty of Music. Speaking of music, you've done hundreds of gigs. Now, I noticed that the New York Dolls, speaking of Toronto, at one time played Toronto and had the band Rush as an opening act. Do you remember having Rush as an opening act for the New York Dolls at all?
Vividly.
Did you enjoy their prog rock stylings?
Well, I think, you know, when you get down to it, Nordwar, the thing about Rush that appeals to me is in the vise of one Geddy Lee, who I would say, as far as ambassadors of goodwill are concerned, Canada could not do better. He is a man who traverses the world with wisdom, wit, good humor, and I would go as far to say that he's an empath.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead to David Johansen of the New York Dolls.
Hello, David.
Hello.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you got involved with John Giorno and the Giorno Poetry Systems record series.
Oh, well, you know, I guess John thought that I was a bit of a poet, and he was interested in the stuff I was writing, and we were both kind of, well, he more than I, but acquaintances of William Burroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we met at a place they called The Bunker on the Bowery, which was Bill Burroughs' hideout in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking one day, and he asked me if I would make a... Let's be honest about this. If I would give him a free cut for one of his records.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it like it is, David Johansen. We really appreciate the honesty. Thank you.
I think I told it.
I think
but,
you did.
Anyway,
thank you.
I wrote him a tune, and I think I did a couple of tunes with him.
Well, thanks for the call, caller. Anything else you want to add out there at all,
no,
caller?
Thank you.
You know, you have a very cultured, intellectual audience, Nardwar.
Well, thank you. Only the best for you, David Johansen.
I saw when you kept on telling the phone number that perhaps it was me that no one was calling, or perhaps no one was listening to begin with.
We have people listening, and we have David Johansen of the New York Dolls on the line. Thanks so much, caller, and doot doot a loot doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. If anybody has any questions for David Johansen, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. One other thing I would like to ask you about David Johansen. Blackie Lawless of the metal band Wasp. Was he at one time ever slotted to be in the New York Dolls?
Well, as I recall, Nardwar, one time we were in Florida, and I believe he was a Florida guy, and I believe John was incapacitated, and we had a gig to perform, and I think he filled in for John on one of those gigs in some kind of a redneck country and western bar where they put a cyclone fence in front of the stage so you don't get hit with any heavy flying objects.
And then years later, you realized that he ended up in Wasp, or did somebody have to point this out to you, or were you watching TV and you're like, oh my God, that guy played with us?
I'm not really familiar with the genre.
Wasp. They're pretty amazing. They have stuff that, like, drip from their mouth, like blood. He drinks blood live on stage.
Well, what? You know what a Wasp is? It's a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, am I right?
That's one definition. It's also
and why do wasps go to the hospital, Nardwar?
I'm not sure, David Johansen. Why do wasps go to the hospital?
For the food, Narwhal.
Boom! And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And speaking of wasps, etc., David, when did you first become aware of the rock and roll rocker known as Morrissey? He's been wearing Smith shirts and lots of New York Dolls shirts for years and years and years. When did you first become aware of him and know that he was a super fan? When did you first meet him?
Well, when I was a young man, and he was still a mere lad, he was the president of the Dolls fan club in the UK. And he would send me letters, and he would also write rather impassioned letters to like the New Musical Express and the Melody Maker and, you know, English rock publications, pleading his case of his superior knowledge of music and how the New York Dolls were the far superior band of the times.
What I was wondering, David Johansen, was, it's fascinating, how many people did you communicate with pre-fame that became really famous, like that you met before they got famous? For instance, like you ran in, you know, you had Blackie Lawless play for you. You had a pre-fame Morrissey writing you. What other people did you encounter that became super famous? I would imagine that every gig you played, at every gig, there was some bands that probably sprouted out. For instance, at that gig in Toronto that you played with Rush, I know that members of the punk band The Vileones and Teenage Head were in attendance. What sort of people did you meet back then, and do you remember any of them that have gone on to anything today?
Well, I know Bo Derek made a big film. Judy Garland, everyone knows about. And let me think. Lana Turner, I introduced her to Johnny Stompanato.
And Bettman?
And that's all I can remember.
And caller, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead to David Johansen, caller.
Hello. I just wanted to ask about, for a while you were appearing in quite a few movies, and it seems, if memory serves, it was kind of like Bill Murray films and stuff. Or I'm wondering how that came about or who the connection was, because I thought I remember there was a consistency in the stuff you were appearing, whether it was the same director or... Anyway, how'd that come about?
Well, one day I was hanging out with Bill Murray, and he said, "Oh, I'm making a new movie. Do you want to be in it?" And I said, "Yeah." So then I was in his film, and it was kind of a popular film. And then there was a film called Let It Ride, which is kind of a cult film. But it's actually, and I wouldn't say this unless I meant it, it's actually a very good film. But it's really only fully appreciated by degenerate horse gamblers. And it's kind of like their Bible. Oftentimes, I'll meet a degenerate horse gambler at church or at the library, and they can recite the script verbatim.
Wow.
And then, from time to time, I would be asked to be in someone's film or other, but it's not something that I did pretty much, you know, as a living or as a passion. It was just something that I was kind of fooling around with.
Well, thanks so much, caller. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, caller?
No, thanks, Narwhal.
Well, thanks, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Narwhal to Human Serviette radio show. And we're speaking here to David Johansen from the New York Dolls, who have a brand new CD coming out. One day it will please us to remember even this. If you have any questions for David, it's 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. On the Dolls CD that Morrissey presented, David, there's a track called Dialogue, where you're talking. I was also looking at the All Dolled Up DVD, and there was a lot of great talking. I love the stories in between songs. Do you still tell a lot of stories in between songs in the New York Dolls?
Occasionally I move to recant a tale or two, but you know, We like to keep it rocking, but occasionally I will tell a story about perhaps a hapless situation that Sylvain encountered, or something like that.
The reason I ask this is, the story I heard you talking about was the story behind the song Hoochie Coochie Man. And then it made me think, you've covered some amazing stuff in your solo stuff and with the New York Dolls, obscure stuff that maybe nobody really knows about. You're almost teaching to people, for instance, like Muddy Waters, Little Geneva. You covered Mississippi John Hurt, Richland Woman Blues. You recovered Doc Boggs. You've covered Roy Brown, Butcher Pete, you know, Bo Diddley Pills in the New York Dolls, The Coasters, Bad Detective. Where did you learn those things? Like, some of that stuff is really, really rare. I don't know if it was rare back then, but it really shows you have an appreciation and a history for the rock. Are you a record collector scum guy? Are you totally into, like, record collecting?
Well, I don't really have a huge record collection, but I have, like, a huge Rolodex of songs in my mind. And as I go through life, I hear certain songs, and I say, ooh, I want to sing that song. And then usually I try to find the situation where I can in fact sing it. But there's so many great songs around, you know, and a lot of them, I mean, a lot of songs I think people cover are, you know, obvious choices, but I try to cover songs that are kind of like unsung masterpieces.
They're almost like nuggets, like Lenny Kaye's Nuggets.
Like Nuggets, exactly.
The total undiscovered ones. And I mentioned that even you, when you cover a popular artist like Bo Diddley, you'll pick like Pills, maybe, which isn't as popular as some of his other songs. Like, I think it's really great. Like, you can learn quite a bit from the New York Dolls. On your brand new...
The funny thing about that song is Bo Diddley thinks that I wrote it.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. A friend of mine spent about 25 years trying to track down the original of that song. So maybe Bo Diddley is right. Maybe you did write it, because it seems to be exceedingly rare.
It's on a Bo Diddley album, I believe, called The Originator.
I think he might have found it on 45. Does it appear on 45, maybe?
On 45, that'd be really great.
I think that's why he spent 25 years looking for it. And David Johansen, on your brand new CD, you have a song called Rainbow Store. And it made me think about store. Where did you find the best clothes when you were shopping in the New York Dolls? Like, there's a scene in the All Dolled Up video where you're going to Fredericks of Hollywood. Where did you find the best clothes? Were the clothes made for you? Where were the best clothes stores? And are any of those stores still around?
Well, being that we were early movers and shakers in the green movement, the ecological recycling movement, we would go to a lot of secondhand stores and buy clothing from bygone eras and kind of part them up and make them presentable.
On your new CD, you also have a song called Take a Good Look at My Good Looks. When did you first start wearing belly button chains, David Johansen?
I would say I started wearing belly button chains in, I think, let me think, who was my teacher? It was Sister Regina. So I would have been in the fourth grade at Sacred Heart School. And one day, she was annoyed with me, and she clamped rosary beads to my navel. And I thought, well, that's rather chic. And I just kept it up.
Were there ever any New York Dolls, David Johansen, New York Dolls merchandise? Like, maybe there is today, or will there be any New York Dolls dolls? Was there any merchandise for the New York Dolls?
Well, I've seen Dolls, New York Dolls, dolls, but I don't know if they were commercially available or if they were just one-of-a-kind works of art.
A caller emailed in a question, and it says, do you know Suicide? Did you ever meet Alan Vega? And the email person says to me that Alan Vega looked pretty much like the New York Dolls. Did you ever meet Alan Vega, or did you ever hang out with Alan Vega? What do you think of Suicide? Because not as many people appreciate Suicide as maybe should be, or they kind of slip through the cracks.
Well, when we started out with the New York Dolls at the Mercer Arts Center, Suicide was one of the other few bands around New York at the time, and they performed with us many times And I was also very friendly with Marty Rev. So, yes, I knew them both quite well. Marty very well, and Alan too well.
David Johansen of New York Dolls, how easy was it to get through airport security back in the 70s? Again, on the All Dolled Up DVD, you're just walking through airport security, no problem. How easy was it to get through airport security?
Well, very few airport security workers were willing to pat us down. So we kind of traveled to and fro as we pleased. Usually, they would make a wide path for us.
How about those toy guns that you bought? I think you had those at the Whiskey A Go-Go. Did you bring those back with you on the airplane? Were you allowed to carry whatever you wanted? Were you limited with the amount of luggage you could bring back? I'd imagine you probably did a lot of thrift shopping and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone actually packed a rod on the plane. Perhaps, though, they were in the prop case.
David Johansen, one thing I want to ask you about the All Dolled Up video was it seems really fun and punk. For instance, the Matrix gig in San Francisco where Arthur Kane, can you explain about Arthur? He's in the background at the gig. I love it. He's not playing in the band because he has a broken arm, but he's on stage. Can you explain a bit about that? That looks like such a fun gig. Was that fun?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Arthur had had an accident, so to speak, and I believe a groupie tried to cut his thumb off or something. I forget exactly the details, but we couldn't really have a concert without Arthur being on the stage with us because he was kind of the muse of the New York Dolls.
And it was great seeing him in the shot. This is all the stuff in All Dolled Up, Rob Gruen video, just in the background, kind of singing along. It was just a great, great moment caught on film. And also I noticed the songs were so incredibly punk, like Mystery Girls. What was the reaction from the crowd when you're playing stuff like that? I couldn't quite gauge it. Did they ever yell at you, slow down, play a ballad or anything? Because it is just pounding punk rock. I just think it's amazing for like 1972, 73.
Well, the reaction was kind of like, remember the first Palm Sunday when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey and they put palm fronds in his staff? It was kind of like that.
So is that good or bad? I can't really tell.
I think it's good. It's good. They used to throw flowers and, pictures of saints and things like that at us.
David Johansen, winding up here, on your new CD, you have a song called Fishnets and Cigarettes, which made me think about the New York Dolls Halloween party you had at the Waldorf Astoria. You had Wolfman Jack at your party. Was Wolfman Jack really there? Is that what I saw? Wolfman Jack?
Yes, actually, Wolfman Jack, he was a friend of ours, and he was broadcasting from our venue, which was the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria, and we were having a costume party, and he had his radio show was live, and Wolfman kind of went a little OC on inviting people down to come down to this incredible event, and I think at last count there was 175,000 people had showed up at the Waldorf, and I think the fire department had to come and kind of cool things down a little bit because there was a little trouble with the overcrowding.
Now, who didn't know the New York Dolls in New York? How popular were you in New York? How many records did you sell in the New York area? The reason I ask this is like Dick Dale in the 60s, I think, was popular pretty much in California, like sold hundreds of thousands of records right in California. Did you sell the bulk of your records in New York? I would imagine you'd be the biggest thing in New York at the time. Who was bigger than the New York Dolls in that Halloween?
I don't think anybody was. We were, the most popular thing in New York. And also, we were, very popular in Europe.
When you went to Europe, what sort of attendance did you get for the gigs? Because I know you played some big gigs there. What sort of attendance did you get versus the gigs you did across North America? For instance, like when you played with Rush or you played Vancouver in the 70s, I'm not sure if you remember that, how many people would come out? Because I'd imagine you'd be successful wherever you went. Were there any bad gigs with the New York Dolls, I mean, attendance-wise?
No, the attendance was always good. I used to take a head count, and I can't remember ever being dissatisfied. I think, you know, for the cognoscenti, or as I like to call them, the glitterati, we were their favorite band.
David Johansen, on your new CD, you also have a song, a new New York Dolls CD, called Gotta Get Away from Tommy. Is that Tommy Ramone you're referring to?
No, but it could be. But I don't have to get away from him because I stay away from him. But it's about another Tommy.
Is it a Tommy that you'd like to talk about? Can we get the story behind Gotta Get Away from Tommy?
Well, you know, when you're a kid and you're playing with some other kid and the chemistry of the two of you makes kind of like a third monster, and something horrible always happens, and then your mother says, I don't want you playing with that kid anymore.
Got it.
It's one of those situations.
Now, you mentioned Tommy Ramone, or I mentioned Tommy Ramone, and winding up here with David Johansen, 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, if anybody has any questions for David Johansen, who is live on the line from Toronto, Ontario. Thank you so much for phoning into the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show here today, David.
I'm in country, Nardwuar.
You're in the same country, not the same time zone, but the same country. Thank you for taking the time to phone in, 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. Did you ever worry, David Johansen, about upsetting anyone? Like, you once told the Ramones to give up. Do you ever worry about upsetting anyone?
Well, you know, when I said that, Nardwuar, I didn't say it in a mean-spirited way. I knew Joey. He was a friend of mine. And he had kept telling me that he wanted to start a band. So I said, well, okay, Joey, if you think that's a good idea. And then, one day, I was rehearsing in the same institution that he apparently was with the new Ramones when they just got together. He came over to the room I was rehearsing in, and he was very excited to inform me that he had a band, and would I come down the hall and listen to them? So I said, well, okay, Joey. So I came down and listened to them, and I have to tell you, I mean, they were making an awful racket. So I suggested, being that he was a nice kid and really bright, that maybe he should find another way to make a living, like perhaps, you know, social work or something, because he's a very sympathetic person. But I just didn't want him to have to go through all the trials and tribulations that a rock and roll band has to go through. I was looking out for his best interests. Now, thank God he had the passion for rock and roll, which overlooked my short-sighted advice, because it turned out he was in one of the greatest bands of history.
I like the way, David Johansen, you just tell it like it is. You go there and do it. If you want to do something, you do it. Did you once, David Johansen and New York Dolls, mail your pubes to your psychiatrist?
Well, it wasn't my psychiatrist. It was a psychiatrist who was sending me letters imploring me to come and be psychoanalyzed, because apparently this individual had witnessed one of our programs and thought that I was insane.
David Johansen, winding up here, we're talking to you from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I heard that Sylvain Sylvain's brother-in-law was Long John Baldry. Do you know if this is true?
This is correct.
That's an amazing connection, because Long John, God rest his soul, he's passed away now, lived in Vancouver for years. How did that come about? How did Sylvain get linked up with Long Gone John Baldry?
Well, Sylvain was in a band called The Criminals, and Rosie was his drummer. And Rosie's brother was Long John's lover. and they moved to Vancouver and set up a nice little love nest.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead to David Johansson, caller.
All right, Mr. Johansson. Hey, well, you guys actually managed by Malcolm McLaren, I think. And what was your reaction to when the Sex Pistols came out with Nevermind the Bollocks and they had that song called Pills?
Well, first of all, this is a two-parter, right? Malcolm McLaren was not the manager of the New York Dolls, but he did make some costumes for us, which we... He had a wife at the time whose name is Vivian Westwood. She's very good with a needle and thread. And we would call him and see if he could get his wife to make us, for example, some red polyvinyl patent leather pants. And he would facilitate that for us. And then, at one point, being that he was kind of a camp follower of the New York Dolls. You'll find camp followers throughout history. The Roman legions had a lot of them. A lot of these Berber tribesmen of today still have camp followers. Anyway, he was a camp follower of the New York Dolls. He was, being an Englishman, really anal. Actually, I should say, a reserved individual. And I think in the presence of the New York Dolls, he would find some kind of liberation that he sought so desperately in his life. And when he glimpsed that liberation, he went back to England and told these young fellas that he was the manager of the New York Dolls, which was fine with me because anything to get a leg up. And then these young fellas went on to make this band, the Sex Pistols. As far as them singing Pills, I'm not really familiar with their oeuvre.
Caller, I was going to actually ask David Johansson something very similar. I don't know if you heard this, caller, but I don't know if you heard this at all, David, but I think Malcolm McLaren, is it true that Malcolm McLaren begged Sylvain Sylvain to be a Sex Pistol? And did Malcolm McLaren ever beg you to do anything, David Johansson?
He begged me to do a lot of things, but I wouldn't be a part of it. And as far as Sylvain is concerned, I think there was some talk about Sylvain being a Sex Pistol, but I think Sylvain wanted to be a Sex Cannon.
Baboom. Well, thank you, caller. Any other questions for David Johansson at all, caller?
No. That's it.
Well, thanks so much, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo. The almost caller, doot doot a loot doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And we're speaking here to David Johansson, 604-822-247, 604-UBC-CITR. Winding up here, lastly, David Johansson,
You've been winding up for a while, Nardwuar.
Well, there's a lot to wind up with the New York Dolls. You wanted to meet David Johansson's best idol, David Johansson, Allen Ginsberg. Did you ever meet Allen Ginsberg? Because I think you wanted to be Allen Ginsberg, didn't you, at one time? Did you ever meet Allen Ginsberg?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I met him in the men's room at the Mud Club, and he said to me, David, I understand they're doing marvelous things with the blues these days. And I said, huh?
What's it like, David Johansson, performing with people that have influenced you or that you are totally into? For instance, didn't you do something with Little Richard at the Grammys?
Yes, that was heavenly. I think we presented someone with a prize or something.
So when you meet somebody like Bo Diddley, you mentioned you met Bo Diddley there. You meant
he plays on our new record.
Bo Diddley's on your new record?
Yeah.
What particular tracks is he on?
It's called 17.
I don't actually see that listed here.
Oh, I bet if you just leave the CD on at the end, it'll probably sneak up on you.
Oh,
like
sorry.
Surprise.
It's the bonus track, number 27. Oh, geez, I didn't want to give that. Oh, I was wondering about that. Well, thank you very much, David Johansson. Really appreciate you phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. I mean, on your CD, you also have a song called Punishing World. I was a bit worried about you, David Johansson, because this is the age of the internet, is it not? Is it not the age of the internet right now?
That's what they tell me. Everybody, it seems, has an email machine.
And your website, davidjohansson.com, is dead. What happened there, David Johansson?
I guess whoever put that shrine up may have either passed away or gone on to another rock star. A lot of people who are David Johansson fans are also very into David Cassidy.
And you've actually posed with him before, have you? Or was it Sean Cassidy that you actually knew?
Oh, yeah, his baby brother, yeah.
And lastly here, I have to ask you, David Johansson, Staten Island, what's that like? Isn't there a museum of Tibetan art on Staten Island? I've never been there. What's the museum of Tibetan art about?
Well, did you ever see the film Lost Horizons?
No.
Well, it's about this group of people who go up into the Himalayas, and they find this secret Tibetan village. And when you're there, you never grow old, but you remain the same, you know, physical beauty that you arrived with. But if you ever leave, you disintegrate into dust. And the same thing happens not only at the Museum of Tibetan Art, but I would say pretty much all of Staten Island.
Caller, are you there? Hello?
Welcome to my castle! Welcome to my castle!
Okay.
Welcome to my castle!
Thank you, caller! Thank you, caller! And
Are you pointing that antenna towards Hong Kong?
Oh, welcome to my castle.
Caller and doot-doot-doot-doot. Caller, doot-doot-doot-doot.
Mr. Johansson.
Yes.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
Whatever happened, it's not a human serviette show here. It's Nardwuar talking. Whatever happened to Journal Poetry Systems?
Well, caller, actually, if you'd been listening earlier, David Johansson actually answered that question. But go ahead, David, one more time.
You know, I think the people in Vancouver are intellectually superior than other places.
It's amazing. Two questions about the Giorno Poetry System.
I think that's fantastic. I think we need more poetry that's ready to reveal what the heart is ready to recognize.
Well, lastly here, David Johansson, New York Dolls, we're going to end on the song Dance Like a Monkey. Anything else you want to say about the song Dance Like a Monkey?
Is there anything I'd like to say about it?
Yes. What is the song Dance Like a Monkey?
I think it's a good pursuit, because when one dances like a monkey, one begins to take on the characteristics of a monkey. And when you think about monkeys, Nardwuar, they kind of hang out in trees. They laze about. They eat bananas. They look at humans who are scurrying willy-nilly off to their mundane jobs, and I think they're chuckling at us.
Well, thanks very much, David Johansson. Anything else you want to add to the people out there about anything? Why should people care about the New York Dolls? Why should people care?
Because we care, Nardwuar.
Well, thanks so much, David Johansson. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot doot-a-loot-doo.
Nardwuar.